Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Canty and Carlin podcast.
Well, I think Adam Silver was hoping for the Lakers and the Celtics. Instead, it looks like he's going to get, you know, the Nuggets and the Heat. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We're on SiriusXM Channel 80. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Freddie Coleman in for the guys today. We welcome in the host of Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Chris Canty joins the conversation now. Chris, you know, I'm a Nuggets fan. I grew up in Denver. Have a 3-0 series lead. I don't know if you've realized that. I don't know if you've been watching the series at all. So I'm trying to decide section 302 for game one of the finals at Ball Arena. $870. Do I want those with my dad, or do I want to sit a little bit closer, like section 202? I could get like $2,100 apiece. That's $2,100 apiece. I think is pretty expensive. What would you pay for an NBA Finals ticket to watch your team? You know, assuming your team could get there someday.
Listen. Go ahead and splurge for the once in a lifetime opportunity. Sit a little close to the court. Spend $2,100 and have a front row seat to Jimmy Buckets cutting the heart out of Jokic, Jamal Murray, and Denver Nuggets. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
In all seriousness, it's a tough call because, like, if you're buying a concert ticket, like, I'm pretty darn sure that Lady Gaga or whatever is going to bring it. Like, you buy a ticket to a game, Chris, I might see Jokic hit a half-court buzzer beater in the greatest game in NBA history. I might see Jimmy Butler and Gabe Vincent go off for 30 apiece and my team lose. So it's a little bit of a risk. It's a bit of a gamble to spend this much money on a ticket to a big game.
Yeah, but scam money never made no money. And if you're excited about your team, and you probably should be if you're a Nuggets fan, then go for it. You go into this thing believing that your team is going to come out on the winning side of it. Now, that being said, it's hard to ignore what we've seen from Jimmy Butler. I don't think anybody's arguing that he's had the best postseason of any player in the entire NBA this year. Like, he's just been absolutely phenomenal. Playoff Jimmy is a real thing, and I know people hate the term Heat culture, but there's no other way to explain how they're doing what they're doing. They got 4 undrafted guys in the playoff rotation right now. I don't know how to explain it other than to say that the culture and the tone set by Jimmy Butler and the front office is what has allowed this team to squeeze every ounce of potential out of everybody they got on that roster.
How do you explain Anthony Davis being so up and down?
I can't explain EKGAD. And at this point, Freddie C, I'm ready to apply that same moniker to Jason Tatum. Ooh. I want to call him EKGJT. I mean, last night, that was an embarrassment. You and Jaylen Brown combined for 26 points in a gotta-have-it game 3? That was just an embarrassment. But back to AD, listen, I've never seen a quieter 28-18 than I saw in game 3. And that's a Lakers team that had everything to play for. You know, they say a series doesn't start until a road team wins a game. So it's not as if the Lakers were out of it. It just the fact that they weren't able to put more distance between themselves and the Nuggets in that third quarter when Jokic picks up his fourth foul with about 7 minutes to go, I think they come out of that stretch and they only have a 1-point lead. And then when Jokic comes back in, the Nuggets promptly go on a 13-0 run. Those are the types of things that cost you an opportunity to compete for a championship, and you would hope that with Jokic on the bench, Anthony Davis can be the difference in terms of the Lakers being able to dominate both ends of the court. But this series just hadn't played out that way. And for whatever numbers that AD has put up in the first 3 games, and I guess I'm specifically talking about game 1 when he goes for 40-10 in game 3, it still hasn't seemed to measure up to what Jokic has done. And that's probably the most disheartening part. You're talking about a guy that's essentially gotten bullied by Jokic, and the Denver Nuggets aren't going anywhere. So when we start to assess what this season has meant for LeBron, AD, and the Lakers, the biggest takeaway that I have is that I'm not sure Rob Pelinka and Darvin Ham can do enough to reshape this team in order to get them on the Nuggets level.
Chris Canty is with us here, Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Aaron Goldhammer, Freddie Coleman. How do you feel about the prospect of Kyrie Irving being a Laker?
I don't feel great about it. But
we couldn't tell at all.
What a sigh that was. We might have to capture that audio and play that back for you. You sound thrilled with this question.
I just don't know what other choices they have because they don't have any future draft picks. Remember, they gave up their last tradable first-round draft pick in order to get Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt and D'Angelo Russell and to ship Russell Westbrook off to Utah. Like, they don't have a lot of ways to improve this team. They don't have a ton of cap space, and you got to deal with Austin Reeves being a free agent and trying to re-sign that guy. I don't know that they can swing it. In terms of the Kyrie move, I think if they do go after Kyrie, I mean, he's a guy that can shoot the lights out of the basketball. He's got the best finish package of any guard in the entire league, especially at the rim. So it would be a welcome addition, but you have to wonder with Kyrie Irving, what kind of baggage is he going to bring along with him to LA? Are you going to get the best version of him? I would trust that if LeBron signs off on it, then LeBron is confident that he can get the best version of Kyrie Irving. But dropping him into the mix, I don't know that that's going to, again, put the Lakers on that same level as the Denver Nuggets. But quite frankly, guys, I don't see any of the other teams in the Western Conference being at that same level going into next year.
What does your gut tell you about maybe, just maybe, LeBron's not going to win another championship with the Los Angeles Lakers, Chris?
Yeah, I'm coming to grips with that reality, Freddie C. And it doesn't feel great. It doesn't feel great. I get that you can't tear it all down when your team makes a run to the conference finals, and you almost owe it to LeBron to see it through and to do everything you can while you have him in the twilight of his career. But I think this postseason has showed us that Father Time is starting to catch up to him. You know, we've got those commercials with him beating up on Father Time. Well, it certainly didn't look like that in the Nugget series. Mm-hmm. Looked like Father Time was giving him that business. And again, you're not going to get a better version of LeBron James in year 21 than you got in year 20. And you're still talking about a guy that missed a month of the season in the second half due to injury. You're not going to get a better version of Anthony Davis than what you saw over the last 4 months. And we're talking about a guy that's had to deal with significant injuries throughout the course of his tenure as a Laker. So your two key cogs have been injury prone, and they're going to be a year older. Doesn't necessarily bode well for the team's outlook for the upcoming season. But what's the alternative? The alternative is not something that's plausible. You're not going to strip it down. You're not going to trade AD. So you have to try to improve within the margins. And if you can make a move for Kyrie Irving, if he's willing to take less, then you take that on knowing that you don't have a whole lot of other ways to get better.
We'll get to some breaking news from the NFL here with Chris Canty in just a second. It's bad news if you like to attend your home team's football games. So we'll get to that here in a minute. But, you know, Chris, I'm always antsy to say on the air that players or a team quit. Because, like, what I don't even know necessarily what that means, and I feel like it's a really big indictment of a player or a team. But I also heard Hall of Famers on TNT say last night that the Celtics quit. So you've been in a locker room like that. Is it a fair characterization of the Celtics to say that they quit, and what are the consequences of it?
I don't know that the Celtics quit, guys. I don't. I think you're talking about a team that's lost confidence in their head coach, being able to give them a game plan that they can go out there and have a path to success. And if the players don't trust, if the players collectively don't trust that the coach is putting them in position to win, then if the players don't trust that, then it makes it hard to give max effort. It makes it hard to have, you know, complete buy-in. And that's what it takes once you get to these rounds in order to advance. And I think that's what we're starting to see in this series. It's obvious that Coach Spo is running circles around Joe Mazzulla. That's happening. There are no answers. Spo is pushing all the right buttons, and Joe Mazzulla can't figure out, you know, whether the Heat are coming or going. And as a player, if you're Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, or any of those other guys, it's hard to go out there with the right mentality if you're uncertain that the coach is his plan is going to allow you to have success. That's why you see guys playing slow. That's why you see so much uncertainty when it comes to their offensive possessions in the half court. That's why guys don't seem as dialed in defensively. When guys don't have shots that are falling on offense or they're not getting open looks, that frustration carries over to the defensive end. So I think you saw all of those things at play in game three, and that's why I think this series is over with and the Miami Heat don't have to worry about going back to Boston. I just believe that they have lost confidence in Joe Mazzulla, which begs a more interesting question for Brad Stevens. Do you decide to move on from Joe Mazzulla, even though you gave him a contract extension this year, because of how ugly this ending of your postseason run looks?
So what would your answer be if you were in that position there, Chris?
Yeah, I would do it. I think you have some viable alternatives. You got Nick Nurse out there. You got Monty Williams out there. I don't think they're in line for a Doc Rivers reunion, but you've got some other seasoned coaches that have done high-level winning that would seem to make sense. And I think from a culture standpoint would fit what the Boston Celtics need. As far as an X's and O's tactician, it's hard to find better than what Nick Nurse is bringing to the party. So I'm a big fan of his. I know he's in the running for the Sixers job, but I think that would be a good fit for the Boston Celtics as well in terms of being able to help those two superstars mesh a little bit better. And so they can go from being a good tandem to being a great tandem. We're still waiting on that promise to be fulfilled. I think it takes the right head coach to push it over to the top. We got a glimpse of it with Ime Udoka last year, but this team has regressed. I think having the right person in that seat can get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown back to the NBA final.
Adam Schefter of ESPN, Chris, reporting that the Thursday Night Football flex passed at the owners' meetings today in Minneapolis.
Oh boy!
By a final vote of 24-8. Now there are a lot of provisions here. They have to give fans 28 days notice to move a game from a Thursday to a Sunday or a Sunday to a Thursday. It's only allowed for weeks 13 through 17, and also a team cannot play two Thursday night road games in a season. Chris, how does the NFL weigh what's best for their TV partners in, exchange with fans who are making travel plans? And I mean, because when that schedule comes out, I know just being here in Cleveland, like, fans are booking hotel rooms and airfares now for games that they're planning on going to in November and December.
Yeah, Hammer, I'm with you. And I feel for those fans because they're frustrated. But the reality is the NFL is catering to, where their money is, where their bread is buttered. And that's ultimately the TV money. The TV revenue overwhelmingly drives the sport more so than ticket revenue, ticket sales, and concessions. And so the NFL is going to make decisions that are dictated in the best interest of that concept. So I don't have a problem with it. I think the 28 days notice is generous.
Yeah.
I mean, fans might not like the fact that they might have to change their travel plans or they might have to scrap their trip altogether, but they wouldn't have any problem offloading their tickets. People always want to buy NFL tickets. So there's that part of it. And yeah, the inconvenience of it sucks, but that's just the reality of it. I think the NFL is doing the right thing. It's about being able to make sure you have a good entertainment product in a marquee time slot, because that's what the Thursday night games are now. That's what they're trying to make them. That's what Amazon is paying for. Go ahead and make that standalone game as good as you possibly can, and having that flex scheduling late in the season gives them the ability to do that. So I'm all for them taking that approach because they want to continue to try to grow the game.
Chris Canty from Canty and Carlin with Freddie coming to Aaron Goldhammer in their stead today on Freddie on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Staying with that, you played in this league. You understand the NFL. Chris, do you ever see a day where you say to yourself, man, this league really is too big to fail?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you certainly have seen a lot of that over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been an interesting time in our country. But, yeah, I've looked at the NFL and some of the things that they've survived. I mean, even going back to the situation with Ray Rice and, mm-hmm. and the video coming out after Goodell only punished him 2 games and all of the different, like you can go back and go through these things chapter and verse, but the way that the league continues to, continue to print money, in yeah. essence, it's impressive. I mean, the concussion lawsuit where they were, where they were found to have, you know, withheld information to players regarding their health and safety. I mean, you think about how they handled the Colin Kaepernick situation. It just seems like all of these big, big controversial events happening, and yet the NFL still finds a way to navigate it, and they still find a way to, you know, increase revenue streams and continue to dominate when it comes to the sports and entertainment landscape. It really is impressive in terms of the growth of the league and what's happened over the last 35, 40 years.
Chris Canty with us on Canty and Carlin, Aaron Goldhammer, Freddie Coleman. You know, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I just wonder, at some point, they need to improve the experience of going to the games, Chris, in person, because the TV experience is just phenomenal. You know what I mean? I got my computer out. I've got my fantasy team. I've got my sportsbook app. I've got my... And you factor in all these things. Okay, man, we had a game in Cleveland this year where it was negative 10 degrees with a negative 20 degree wind chill for a team that went 7-10 this year. Like, you couldn't pay people to go to that game. And at some point, as a product, you know, if they keep telling fans that go to games, we don't care about you, at some point the fans are going to start to believe them on that and not go.
Hammer, I hear you. I'm not sure that you'll ever get to the point where you won't have fans at the games, even though the in-game experience is very different from the at-home viewing experience. I'll say this. It might not be a situation where you have a fan go to all 8 or 9 home games in a season.
Yeah.
But I think you do have enough NFL fans because of the interest in the sport, because of how gambling has made the interest in the sport explode, because of the coverage of it throughout the entire calendar year. I think because you have so much interest and because the league is doing a better job of building stars, I think you'll always have people that want to go and see it live. You'll always have that, and I think the NFL knows that. They already have – listen, the diehard football fans are always going to be there. The NFL has already got them hooked. So they're not worried about what they need to do to make sure that they keep coming out to the stadium. What they want to do is figure out if they've got, you know, 7 out of 10 sports fans enjoying their product, how do they get the other 3? And the way to first introduce yourself to the other 3 is through linear platforms, through television, through streaming, and so on and so forth. And so I think that's why you're seeing the NFL focus a lot of their attention that direction, because, you know, in terms of, you know, making sure that they have, you know, sports and entertainment, you know, kind of locked down. That's what they're doing. They're trying to make sure that they rope in as many people, they make their product as mass as they can. And enhancing the television experience does that a lot more than the in-stadium experience.
Now, I'm going to save my money for basketball tickets because, you know, my Nuggets are wow. probably going to the NBA Finals.
Oh, Hammer, you can't stay away from the Cleveland Browns. Stop it. You're going to the game.
Exactly. Who's he fooling?
22-50.
I think his Browns are going to be good this year, too, though, by the way. Sneaky under the radar team.
Please stop with that. I'll believe it when I see it. Section 258, Chris, 22-50. Do I go there or I'm looking at section 120? Now, it's in the corner for $12.79. I don't know which one has a better view of the Nuggets. I know there's a view of the Lakers tonight. I bet you can get in and sit courtside tonight if you want, down 3-0. Chris, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk soon.
All right, Hammer. Freddie C., appreciate y'all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tune in tonight. It's Game 4 of the NBA's Western Conference Finals. I mean, you can tune in, but I think we already know who's winning this series, right?
It's over.
Lakers hosting the Nuggets, presented by Indeed. Coverage starts 8 o'clock Eastern on most ESPN radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Up next, Mina Kimes on backup quarterbacks and Thursday night football scheduling. After this, from Freddie on NHTSA.
Every day there are drivers on the road who decide not to buckle their seats. Some of those drivers will be ticketed by law enforcement. Some of those drivers who crash won't make it home. Buckling up is the single most effective way to protect your life in the event of a crash, and make it home safely to your loved ones. So don't risk it. Click it or tick it. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Well, we know that NFL owners care a lot about television ratings, but how much do they really care about fans that travel to and attend their games? Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Freddie Coleman. We are in for the guys. Mina Kimes said to join us in just a second to talk about the fact, Freddie, that flex scheduling is on its way to Thursday Night Football. Now, far be it for me to complain about this. I want the best matchups right. Sitting in my basement. I want, if there's a hot team, I want them to pick up national TV games, and I want to see the playoff race up close and personal. But I understand how fans that try to plan 6 months in advance to go to a game, and they find out that it's getting moved from Sunday to Thursday, and they got to change their hotel and their work schedule. And this whole thing can get very complicated for the NFL's primary customers.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that 8 teams voted against it. The Giants, Jets, Packers, Bears, Raiders, Detroit, Bengals, Pittsburgh. They voted against it. I'm surprised it was 8 teams. Because as much as they love money, they're getting billions and billions of dollars from Amazon Network to broadcast Thursday games. I'm surprised that was 8 teams. I thought it'd be like maybe 1 or 2 because that kind of money, that kind of stroke that it gives your league, it's not about the fans. It's not about the players because they know that people may hate Thursday Night Football, but more than enough people are going to be watching Thursday Night Football.
Freddie, when was the last time, and I know your job, you know, prevents you from, when was the last time you attended an NFL game as a fan? Has it happened in the last 5 years?
It's been about 10 years.
Ten years.
It was a preseason game.
I got to say, the experience, but I went with my wife a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it had been so long, she really missed the first down line. You know, like she was like, I can't tell.
She's used to seeing it,
And I was like, you know what, Al? I was like, you're right. It is such a great experience to watch these games on television. Let's go out to the hotline. We bring in Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst. Of course, you can hear her on the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast. And you can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes. Mina, you saw the news. Thursday Night Football flex scheduling is on its way to the NFL. What was your initial reaction when you saw?
Players are not going to love this, and the NFL is going to have to be very careful about pulling that lever because, as you guys know, that short week is a hot-button topic when it comes to injuries. There's been different data showing the impact or lack thereof, but I doesn't tell you that players do not love it. And if you have contenders who are forced to play on short weeks, a disproportionate amount of time, I think you'll get a lot of blowback.
The opponents, the owners, they said they raised a variety of concerns when it comes to flex scheduling. Like Aaron mentioned, travel logistics and impact on fans. Yeah. But realistically, they don't give a you-know-what about that. It's about the travel and logistics with money going into their pockets more than anything else. But what does it say about the NFL that, yeah, people will complain about it. But like I mentioned, people are still going to watch Thursday Night Football.
People are watching. They're going to be a lot more likely to watch if it's not, you know, felt like Colts Broncos 800 times. I know that's the only one. But Thursday night had some real stinkers last year. You guys recall, although there were games where you had like, I believe the Baker Mayfield Rams first Ram start was on a Thursday night, and no one saw that being a great game and ended up being a great game. Sometimes you can be taken by surprise, but obviously, you know, the NFL on one of their standalone nights wants to ensure a better entertainment product. I'm guessing Amazon, who had Thursday night football, probably had a voice in this. I think it's going to be one of those things where the vast majority of fans just watch in larger numbers, and it won't bother them until it actually impacts one of the players on their own teams.
Mina Kimes with us, ESPN NFL analyst, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Mina, the new rule about the third emergency quarterback. Freddie and I are wondering to each other, why don't they just let all 53 guys be active on game day? What is the point of saying only 46 guys can play to begin with?
Yeah, that's a curious one. I imagine some of it has to do with logistics, and there's potentially financial or cost savings that we don't know about. The emergency quarterback thing, you know, felt like a no-brainer, obviously, after the Niners, were down to Brock Purdy using his wrong hand or whatever in the playoff game. It felt like a kind of like a common sense rule change. I will say, though, I wanted to see Christian McCaffrey playing quarterback. I always do personally like it when the quarterback, I mean, I don't lie, when the quarterback gets hurt on any game, meaningful game, but when there's always that moment when you're down to a backup, and then if the backup's hurt, you start speculating, well, which of the wide receivers played high school quarterback? And, he was the California, you know, I always kind of like that. And for football purposes, this is an obvious decision.
Speaking of quarterbacks, what quarterbacks, quarterbacks, do you believe will be under maybe the most stress of any quarterback?
Ooh, scrutiny-wise, I mean, I do think Aaron Rodgers is a pretty prime candidate because of the expectations, you know, with that trade. He didn't force his way out or you can kind of characterize that different ways, but he didn't leave for New York for them to just win one playoff game, right? They didn't make this big move, moving on not only from their draft pick, but what they gave up and all of this. I feel like anything less than a playoff run would be a pretty significant letdown for a team, given the expectations that people are putting on that franchise. Another one I'll throw out, and Aaron's familiar with this one, of course, it'd be Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. You know, I mean, he's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. They give him this huge contract, and then he comes out and he plays worse than the backup, Jacoby Brissett. That's a football team that I believe is very good roster-wise on both sides of the ball. And really, the biggest limiting factor is the quarterback, unless he returns to his previous level of play.
Mina Kimes putting undue pressure on the Browns with us. Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast, available wherever get you pod. If Mina keeps doing that, I'm not going to be promoting her podcast.
You agree, though. I know you agree.
I like flying under the radar.
Yeah, good luck with that in Cleveland.
But Mina, DeAndre Hopkins and Ezekiel Elliott are probably two of the biggest names that we think are still out there to potentially change teams. Obviously, Zeke is a free agent. Where do you think they both end up?
Zeke, I think a return to Dallas on a cheaper contract seems likely. Hopkins is a trickier and potentially more impactful one because I can name a number of teams that could use him. Teams like Detroit, contenders really come out. Carolina is a team that I think needs an extra wide receiver for their rookie quarterback. But the limiting factor there, the reason why a trade didn't get done, before the draft is DeAndre's contract.
Right.
Very few teams can afford it. And I think for a trade to happen, Arizona and him potentially would have to facilitate that in some ways, with the team either eating some of that contract for, you know, a better draft pick, or Hopkins himself agreeing to a pay cut to join a contender.
Mina, appreciate the time as always. Talk soon.
Tell Lenny we said hi.
Bye, guys.
There's Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny, who's Mina's dog, and has great takes on the podcast, available wherever you get your True. Podcasts. Up next on Canty and Carlin, a club pro at a golf course was leading SportsCenter last night. Why? We'll explain. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Freddie Coleman, Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Canty and Carlin, the podcast.
The guy who won the PGA Championship didn't really win the PGA Championship. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Freddie Coleman. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. You want to join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Okay, who is Michael Block, and why should anybody care? Freddie, the PGA Championship allows PGA club professionals to qualify to play in their tournament, okay, one of the golf majors. Now, normally these guys finish like 25 over par, and it's just a thrill for them to be on the same golf course as the pros. But Michael Block did a whole lot more than that. Not only did he finish in the top 15 to qualify for next year's PGA, but his hole-in-one at 15 and his up-and-down at 18 were the two coolest things that happened during this. We're not talking about Brooks Koepka on Canty and Carlin today. We're talking about Michael Block.
His ranking on the PGA Tour jumped over 3,000 spots. He's now the 577th in the world. I'm thinking, how many guys are part of the PGA Tour that he jumped 3,000 spots and he's still not in the top 100?
Holy cow.
It's one of those things where you always hear about the underdog stories, and it was finally something this year where people could talk about golf and not have to worry about a whole back and forth between the guys in the PGA Tour and the guys in the LIV Golf Tour. Because here's somebody who, in 24 previous times of playing in a PGA Tour event, he only made the cut four times. This is the same guy that touched the lead during a PGA Championship, nearly touched the lead on Friday. And then you had a chance to play along Justin Rose on Saturday and Rory McIlroy on Sunday. And then he said, when he didn't even know about the hole-in-one, Aaron, on 15, he said, why is Rory giving me a hug? I'm not that nice of a guy.
He didn't even see the ball go in.
You
know, it just – it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen in sports. It really – the fact that this unheralded guy – Freddie, it's almost like that dream that you had, that you were sitting at your favorite team's basketball game and they call you out of the crowd to shoot the game-winning free throws.
And you hit it, yeah.
Yeah, it feels almost like one of those. So I did some research, on Michael Block. He's 46. He is the teaching pro at Arroyo Trabuco Golf Club in Mission Viejo, California. And if you want, you can schedule a golf lesson with him next week at the low price of $150 an hour.
Okay.
Now, what I'm wondering from you, I think if you were an existing client of Michael Block's, you stay at the $150.
Right, you should be grandfathered.
For all the people rushing, like, shouldn't he raise – isn't he now worth more than $150 an hour on the open market?
Well, you can definitely raise it up to about $200, $250, and no one's going to quibble. Then you can ease it up maybe a little bit more, because now – you have literally in golf terms, you have that stroke if you're Michael Block, because everybody saw where you were able to do the PGA Championship. And the best part for me was on the 18th green where he knocks in that shot. You would have thought he won the championship. It seemed like he got a bigger roar for doing that than for Brooks Koepka, who just won his third PGA Championship in the last 6 years and his fifth major overall. Those are the kind of things you say, hey, the once in a while, the everyman can have a 10-cup moment. Like having the Michael Block this weekend.
So I'm actually looking up now, 45-minute lesson is $125, or a 9-hole playing lesson is $500.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to play with a tour pro for 9 holes, I think you got to donate thousands of dollars to charity to have the opportunity to do that. So if I'm Michael Block, I don't want to go too high.
Exactly.
And I did just make over 200 grand finishing 15th, but... I'm worth – I mean, you got to – as the market changes, it's the law of supply and demand. I'm trying to come up with the right economic phrase. I just think he's worth more. I think you got to immediately, he needs to communicate with the head of this this golf course and get, I'm not talking about $1,000 an hour, but I'm with you. $250, not too much to ask for. And give the man a raise.
And you should have some numbers behind where you can say he had the first ace by a club pro at the PGA since 1996.
Yep.
He had the best 36 and 54 hole position by a club pro since 1988. He had the best finish by a club pro at a PGA championship since 1986. That's all you need. Put those numbers and say, this could be you. If you get a lesson from this guy, yep, maybe, just maybe, this could be you. So everything has to come together to make that storyline work. And I don't know what it says about golf without Tiger Woods, without that star people want to rally around, but a lot of people talking more about Michael Block on social media and totally. Headlines crossing paths between sports and news. They're talking about a guy, Brooks Koepka, who's going to be in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
I mean, they ought to make Michael Block another Wanamaker trophy because he deserves one for the amount. I mean, he really has won the PGA Championship. He didn't technically win it, but he's really won it. Why should you care about who Bob Laskin is, Freddie? Well, he is the fellow pro at this golf course, Arroyo Trabuco.
Okay.
And I just looked it up. His rates are currently higher than Michael Block's.
That's about to change.
I hate to tell old Bob, but he's not the most expensive teacher in Arroyo Trabuco anymore. As of today, as of now, per us here on ESPN Radio, Canty and Carlin are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. You can make every moment more, and we are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Coming up, has LeBron won his last NBA championship? And if so, is that something that he really should be criticized for? He has a chance. Come back from 3-0 down, something nobody has ever done in NBA history in the Western Conference Finals. Tonight's Canty and Carlin. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Freddie Coleman with you on ESPN Radio.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.